Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The title of my lesson this morning is The Lesson of the Towel. The Lesson of the Towel. I believe John chapter 13 is one of, if not the most amazing chapters in all of Scripture. It's an amazing chapter. It's about a servant. And as Mike mentioned this morning, as we observe the Lord's Supper, that servant is the servant. That is Jesus. He is our perfect example. Earlier in John chapter 5, Jesus had these words for us. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, he said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus came to do the bidding of God the Father, and that's exactly what he did. And if you think about it, a servant's heart is as close to God as anyone can get, because Jesus was the servant. Jesus is the servant. Jesus' followers are servants of the servant. You know, too many Bible words have been ruined. Too many of them have been ruined. For instance, one example is the cross. It was ugly. The cross was ugly. It was bloody. It was painful. It was humiliating. But now, when people talk about the cross, and they'll even wear crosses on them, it appears as if the cross is harmless. But it's not. It was an agony of pain. It was ugly. It was bloody. Many people today want a Christ without a cross. But to be a follower of Jesus is to go to the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 2, he said, "I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And earlier in that Galatian letter, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." The cross of Christ. To be a follower of Jesus is to go to the cross. To follow Him. The example that He has set before us. He shows us what a true servant is. Really is. And that's another word that has been ruined in many cases, is the biblical word servant. You know, Paul often referred to himself as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Do you realize what a bond servant is? A bond servant is someone who is totally owned by another. Totally earned. What Paul is saying here is, I am totally earned by Jesus. I'm owned by Him. I owe Him everything. You know, people today are not lining up to be servants. They're not lining up to be servants. Something else to think about too. You know, you can never be too small to be used by God. But you can be too big. You know, pride gets the best of many. And we're going to see an example of pride in someone's life in John chapter 13. But Jesus is going to approach that pride, and he's going to put pride in its place. The last objective lesson that Jesus gave his disciples, his apostles, the 12, was the lesson of the towel. He admonished them in this lesson to do what he had done. You know, every time, as Mike mentioned this morning, in Matthew chapter 20, the sons of Zebedee, their mom, that was James and John's mother, tried to get them to be on the right side and on the left side. And later on, John and James, I should say, are going to come to Jesus again, and they're going to want to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. You know, time and time again, the apostles tried to promote themselves. And just like Mike mentioned, Jesus rebuked them every time. Because servants are what Christians are. We're not to be the greatest. We're to be the smallest. We are servants of the servant, Jesus Christ. Jesus brought that out. We'll turn over there for just a minute. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, it's again, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. And they said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Think about that. Think about they're approaching Jesus and saying, how bold they approached him too. Here is the master teacher, and we want you to do for us exactly this. They said, grant unto us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Just like Mike mentioned for us there. And you notice what he goes on to say in verse 42. He said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles rule it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whosoever desires to become great among you shall be what? Your servant. Whosoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for others. So let's get the setting here. What is it? John chapter 13. It's the upper room, isn't it? It's the observance of the Passover. Jesus asked his disciples, you recall, there's a room prepared. Let's go, find a room, get everything ready. I'm going to observe the Passover with you. And it's going to be his last. And after the Passover meal, what did they partake of? They partake of the Lord's Supper. Matthew, Mark, Luke reveal the institutions of the Lord's Supper to us. John features the towel. John features the towel. There's no towel in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. John is privileged to show us the human side of this event. The human side of this event. Under the shadow of the cross, the disciples are arguing, who is the greatest? And Jesus, in John chapter 13, in verse 1, that verse says it all. That verse says it all. You notice what it says? And when the feast of the Passover, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That says it all. He loved it to the end. The utmost, Jesus loved them. Even though they're arguing there, who's going to be the greatest? Jesus still loved them. He loved them to the end. When Jesus needed his disciples the most, they were filled with pride. Still, even though they were filled with pride, he loved them to the end. He didn't scold them. You notice that? He doesn't scold them. He didn't point a finger at them. He didn't pray to God for a whole new bunch. He didn't say, you know, the day of Pentecost is coming, Father. How can we start the church with this bunch? How can we do it? He didn't do that, did he? He didn't put him to shame, which he very rightly could have. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do at this point? He filled a pan with water. He girded himself with a towel. And he washed their feet. That's what he did. He washed their feet. You know, as I read that, I think this. I think, don't do it, Jesus. Don't do it. Let them wash their own feet. But is that what Jesus does? No. When Jesus did that, he gets me to thinking something else. You know, when John looked back at that night, I believe that had to have changed his life forever. Changed his life forever. He saw God Almighty on his knees washing feet. That's what he saw there. That's what all those apostles saw. They saw the Almighty God down on his hands and knees washing feet. It's written in the Jewish Mishnah. It's written in the Jewish Mishnah that Jewish boys could not be demeaned by foot washing. Jesus himself identified with the lowest of servants. You know, servants have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. And what did Jesus do? He girded himself with a towel and he washed their feet. Jesus' message here was very loud and clear, very definite. I must be your servant because I am his servant. Why did he do this? Because he was God's servant. He was the servant. He is our example. He is the servant. One brother had this to say. I thought it was marvelous. He said, the crucified Savior can only use crucified servants. The church cannot bleed. The church that cannot bleed cannot bless. The church that cannot serve cannot save. The church that cannot suffer cannot redeem. The church that cannot die cannot live. We've got to die to self and live to Christ. That is what Jesus is teaching us here. We've got to be servants of the servant because Jesus has given us the perfect example. Verse 2. Supper had ended. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and that he was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. And after he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter. What about Peter? Let's take a look at Peter here. Peter here probably, I believe, asked one of the dumbest questions in all of Scripture. Do you notice what he said there? Jesus is going along. He's going along washing feet and he comes to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? What do you think Jesus was going to do? How many had he already washed? He comes to Simon. Is he going to pass Simon Peter up? Why do you think he asked that question? Why do you think Peter asked that question? He had a problem, didn't he? He had a problem with false spirituality. He was an outspoken leader. His feet did not need washed. Peter literally at this point made a fool out of himself. You know, pride does that. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride can get the best of many people. It got the best of Simon Peter. He's there, what do you think you're going to do? You think you're going to wash my feet? And you notice what Jesus' reply was? What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And then Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. And then, what did Jesus answer to him? If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Pride has no value in the kingdom of God. We are what? We are humble servants of the servant. Peter needed to learn that lesson. And he learned it very fast as well, because he repented very quickly. And you notice what happened. Simon Peter said to him, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Many in the world today have the proud attitude that I'm not on charity. Oh, yes, you are. You owe everything to God. We all do. We are all on charity. Every one of us need Him. Everything that we have, all of creation, belongs to God. Everything that you possess is God's. Yes, we are on charity. Absolutely. Peter's feet were dirty. They needed washed just like everyone else's feet need washed. Another attitude some have is this. I can wash my own feet. I don't need anybody. Oh, yes, you do. There's not a person living in this world today who does not need Jesus. We all need Him. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself job. It's not a do-it-yourself job. We need Jesus. We need His help. The only way that we, as a church here at Belmont, can grow spiritually is if we have Jesus with us. The only way we can grow in number is with Jesus with us. We need Him. Without Him, we are nothing. In 2 Corinthians, for just a moment, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what the Apostle Paul had to say there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, for just a moment, I want to share a passage with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you notice what the Apostle Paul had to say, actually beginning in verse 7. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. In other words, unless I think too highly of myself. He had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me this, My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made, how? Perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He needed Jesus above everything else. We need Jesus. There's not a person in this world who doesn't need Jesus. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, he said, in reproaches and needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I've got Him. I've got Jesus. You know, we never outgrow our need for Jesus. We change to be like Him. He doesn't change to be like us. We change to be like Him. You know, we need Peter's example. This is an extremely important example because none of us has earned the right. None of us has earned the right to serve, to teach, to preach. None of us have earned that. We need Peter's example. Think about this for just a minute. Think about this. Think about this for just a minute. Who preached that great sermon on Pentecost? Who preached that great sermon? Peter did, didn't he? Had he earned that right? No. Had he made the highest grade in the preaching exam? No, he hadn't done that, had he? Peter preached because he let Jesus wash his feet. That's why he was able to do that, because he humbled himself as a humble servant before Jesus, and then he was able to proclaim that powerful message on Pentecost. Who am I to serve? Who am I to teach? Who am I to preach? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. But as long as I humble myself at the feet of Jesus and submit to His will, I can serve. I can teach. I can preach to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And you can as well. Because only Jesus can keep us as humble servants of Him. That's what we are. We're humble servants of Jesus. Peter needed to learn that lesson. And he did. And because he learned that lesson and he let Jesus wash his feet, he was able to proclaim that powerful message on that first Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when 3,000 souls were saved. Why was he able to do that? Because Jesus washed his feet. You know, we're not perfect. Peter was not perfect. There's not a perfect person on the face of this earth. You know, a good example of that, you know, little children. Little children cannot paint or color bad pictures. They may not color within the lines, but they try their best, don't they? They try their very best. And they're just children being children. You know, we hug them. We love them. And we say, wow, what a wonderful picture. And we preserve that picture. That's the way children learn. That's the way children grow. And the same is true with us. We make mistakes. Peter made a mistake. But he realized what his mistake was. And he repented of that and said, Lord, wash my feet. Wash all of me. If you have to. And Jesus said, just only the feet. That's all that needs to be done. We can't be perfect. We can't do everything right. We can't avoid failures. But there's one thing that we can be. We can be faithful. We can be faithful to Jesus. We may stumble at times, but we can get up and we can follow our perfect example. We can look to Jesus. You notice what happens then? Jesus said, goes on, and says, Jesus said, he is bathed, needs only to wash, in verse 10, his feet, but is completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. And just think about this too. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. And yet Judas Iscariot, within a few moments, is going to depart and he is going to betray him. How sad. How sad. An individual that was lost. He could have been saved, but he was lost. And you notice what Jesus said, what goes on to say, you're not all clean. And then verse 12, he said, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, and you notice what he said to them, be like me. You be like me. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent me. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus here tells his disciples to be like him. To be like him. Jesus, you know, gave them and you and I only one command. That is, follow me. Be like me. That's Jesus' command to us. Paul said it like this. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. It should be obvious to all that we associate with that we have spent time with Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. That was what was spoken of the apostles when they stood before the Jewish Sanhedrin. They knew that they had spent time where? With Jesus. You know, the only safe place on this earth is it's in the middle of the will of God. That's the only safe place on this earth, is to be in the middle of the will of God, doing God's will, doing God's bidding. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus gives us his perfect example. That was his final lesson that he gave to the apostles, to be like him. That's his lesson for us today as well. Be like me. Follow my example. Are you here this morning and you're not a Christian? We're praying for you. Jesus has given us, has shown us what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a child of God, to be like Jesus, to follow his example, the perfect servant that he was. And as I mentioned, well, we fail, we falter, we make mistakes, and he knows that. But he loves us. You notice what, as I mentioned, that first verse tells it all. He loved them to the end, to the utmost. Even though they made mistakes, we make mistakes, he still loves us. He still cares about us. And as long as we seek his repentance, when we realize we've done things wrong against him, and we're heartily sorry for them, he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as John tells us in 1 John. If you're not a Christian, then why not? Jesus is our perfect example. We need to follow him. Believe in him as God's only begotten Son. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess that he's your Lord and Savior, and be buried in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away by his precious blood. Perhaps you've once done that, but you've strayed away from him. Can we pray with you? Can we help you to be restored back to a right relationship with him? Because that's the most important thing in this life, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. What have you done with him? Because someday we are all going to stand on the bar of judgment, and he is going to ask us, what have you done with me? Think about that. If there's anyone here that we can help in any way, please come while we stand and sing.